On Saturday, April 13th, the WCF Symphony is presenting their To the New World concert. I'm Jacqueline Hallblum, and the concert includes the music of Dvorak and showcases the amazing artworks influenced by the music of Dvorak of illustrator and artist Gary Kelly. And we're so fortunate to have joining us today the WCF Symphony's artistic director and conductor, Jason Weinberger, and also the amazing artist Gary Kelly. And thanks for joining us, gentlemen.
Thank you, Jacqueline.
Thanks, Jacqueline.
Well, Gary, before we dive into this latest project that you're doing with the WCF Symphony, give us the Reader's Digest of your background. We know you're a UNI grad. Tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Well, yes, I was an art major at UNI. I graduated from here back in the late 60s. Two of my my most important influences were David Delafield, my favorite painting professor, and Rolf Koppel, the graphic design guru. They both had a big impact on where I am now, I think. And I just was able to get a couple of reasonable jobs and assignments after I graduated. And then and eventually in the 1980s, went off on my own, where I've been ever since, in my own studio.
And on your own, you have become a Society of Illustrators. You've won 28 gold and silver medals. You've also been inducted into the Society of Illustrators Hall of Fame, and you've done work for Time, Atlantic, Rolling Stone, New Yorker, Santa Fe Opera, Barnes & Noble, yada, 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 plus 30 picture books. So you haven't been sitting around eating bonbons and twiddling your thumbs.
No, I can't do that. I'm lucky. I look forward to going into the studio every day and having a new project or a different project to motivate me.
So, Jason, you and Gary have had several collaborations, and what's up your sleeve for this current collaboration?
Yeah, actually, I want to tell you a little bit about our work together. It has been amazing over the last decade or so, and we started originally with a project that Gary came up with, which was this idea to create a visual accompaniment for The Planets by Gustav Holst. And we did that, and believe it or not, we did it again. We learned so much from the process of bringing together visual art and music, you know, on the same stage in the same setting, that we actually decided after we did The Planets we were going to stick with this and do some more projects. And we did a couple. We did a feature on some American music, George Gershwin, Duke Ellington. We came back to The Planets to improve a lot of the technical elements, and Gary also made some changes to the artwork. And then we did a piece based on Mahler's Nachtmusik, and we've also done an Ellington Christmas piece. So we've unrolled several different concepts. And over the course of that time, we also created a separate company called The New Live, which owns this technology that we use. And so what's really cool about this is you have the artistry that Gary brings to all of his work, and I think in particular to this, because there's this very unique element of kind of interpreting music through visuals. And Gary just does this in such an incredibly sophisticated and artful way. But then to make it work, we had to develop a technology that's not really currently in use in the classical music world that would allow the images to be able, in a way, to kind of follow the music instead of the other way around. And there were a lot of reasons why we decided we had to do that. But really, our first experience of The Planets told us it's impossible to force the musicians to try to somehow link up the music with the visuals. So we reversed it, and we created this special technology, which now the symphony takes advantage of that in all of these visual productions that we've done together. So we've got quite a bit of history, which means that we're sort of pretty good conceptually at putting it together and knowing what we need to do. But each one still presents unique challenges. And I think the other element of all of this is that Gary and I, you know, and our other partner, Jacob Mead, who's our technical director for The New Live, and he does all the filming and video work as well as the projection. The three of us feel like just doing the same thing over and over again would be pointless. You know, we don't want to do that. So each time we do try to approach the whole thing fresh. We're looking at different repertoire, a different approach. In a lot of ways, the whole technical aspect, it can be different from one to the next, and even how the program fits together. You know, where does this fit on a concert and all that stuff. So that's also been something we've really embraced, the idea of doing, you know, sort of differently each time. And that's been very exciting. And I think it's motivated us and kept us kind of fresh and energized as we approach each project. And so, you know, even though we have really a kind of a monumental amount of work with this one, it's been very exciting to take a different approach and sort of invent something new with this production. And I think audiences here that have experienced Gary's prior work with the symphony will be really surprised pleasantly, you know, by how different this one is than some of the other things that we've done.
So tell us, how are you going to make this collaboration include the music of Dvorak?
Well, that's a great question, you know, because some of the things we've done in the past are, you know, works that have a really strong narrative component to them. You know, so The Planets, while not a narrative work, you know, it has this very clear associations with each movement. And then when we did the Ellington Nutcracker, for example, you know, that retells the story of the Nutcracker, which of course Tchaikovsky did, and it comes from an original source earlier than that. And so we had a basis for, you know, what the story might look like. With Dvorak, it's a little bit different. We actually sort of picked the story first. We wanted to talk about how Dvorak came to America, and specifically how he wound up in Iowa, ultimately writing some of his most important music during that period of time when he was here in this country and here in Iowa. So we knew that was the story. But of course, Dvorak didn't write any music that contains that story. So instead, we had to kind of, in a way, script the program with pieces that, in a musical sense, would tell that story. And Gary could couple the visuals to that musical story quite a bit different than what we've done with pieces in the past.
So, Gary, how did you approach this?
Well, it's been interesting for me, and because of what Jason just said. For example, with Nachtmusik or the Nutcracker, I decided what direction to take the visuals and make a narrative out of them. This is a little different because of the New World Symphony, and I think a great thing about it is the connection to Iowa. I think especially around here that'll have an extra attraction. But Jason really has listed the pieces, and with a few notes around each listing, that helps me find a visual direction. The other thing that helps me find that direction, and it's really important, is doing my homework on who Dvorak was and what culture he came from and what his passions were creatively. And putting that together in the images without necessarily having a beginning, a middle, and an end, like the Nutcracker, for example. The other thing was Spillville. I mean, I've been there once or twice before, but this fall in September, I spent a long day up there with an artist that lives there, and she showed me all the things that could possibly, like, work their way into these visuals. I didn't have a storyboard yet. I didn't have a specific layout, but I have a lot of things I can build on now, and so it was really, really an enjoyable trip. And the fact, for example, that like St. Wenceslas Church, the big Catholic church up there, to walk through that cemetery with all those Bohemian names on the headstones from the 19th century and early 20th century, to get to go into the church and see exactly where Dvorak would play the organ many, many mornings in there, to go to the Turkey River, walk up and down the river as I guessed where Dvorak did. Unlike him, I didn't make notes on the cuffs of my shirt, but to go to Kalmar to see if I could find the train station, because that's the train he got off of. Spillville didn't have a train passenger service. The train station's gone, but I have a friend, another artist friend that grew up there, and he found me pictures of it. So those things are really important to me, but of course the most important thing is how they relate to the sounds and the music. And I know Jason can talk about that a lot too. The sounds are what were the driving force for Dvorak. I mean, some of the quotes from, I've got a great biography written by his son that I've been stealing from the Cedar Falls Library now for the last 6 months, legally. A couple other books on Spillville, and then, you know, I don't want to go on too far here, but just the fact that he thrived on nature, Native American music, African-American music, his first trip to the Midwest, his first trip to the United States, things like that. I mean, those are things that, that we can really enjoy with our ears and our eyes.
Well, he was a big lover of nature, and you were talking about writing things on his cuff. That was one of the things that he really got into, was writing down bird calls, apparently.
Yeah, he was trying, especially the scarlet tanager. That was one of his main focuses.
So are we going to be seeing a scarlet tanager in some of these?
There's one on the poster.
Okay.
I don't know about the screen yet.
So, Jason, you talked about the different music. Tell us some of the music that you have selected that you're going to integrate into this collaboration.
Well, sure. Now, we've performed quite a bit of Dvorak's music over the years, as you might expect, maybe, from, you know, an orchestra so close to where Dvorak spent his time in this country, and we featured his music on our youth concerts as well. And actually, much of this music and some of Gary's imagery will be featured on our youth concerts as well this year. So, all in all, you know, this is a really quite wide-reaching project that draws on our past experience with this composer. But in this case, the task was really not so easy. Most concerts, you know, you're going to perform, let's say, a big symphony, and maybe there's going to be a concerto somewhere and an overture or whatever. You know, our concerts don't always follow that format, but you know, you kind of have a standard way of doing concerts. And this one is a little bit different. We wanted the music to help tell the story, which meant we had to sort of create a structure for the whole evening. So it's really a performance in three acts. And if you've been to an opera before, you'll know the feeling of this, although this does not have any singers, obviously, and there's no stage action because it's the orchestra with the visuals. But in structure, it's similar to a theatrical piece. It has an overture at the beginning and then a first act, which transitions into a second act. There's some entr'acte music in between, and there's an intermission, and then the third act. And each of these sections allows us to tell a specific story with the music of Dvorak's life. So we start back in Bohemia, and we begin with music that's really draws on Dvorak's roots as a Czech composer, and also, of course, you know, somebody who kind of grew up and developed professionally with his foot, sort of one foot in the world of folk music and vernacular culture, and the other foot in the world of sophisticated classical music, you know, art music, as promoted by composers like Brahms. You know, Brahms is one of the people who really promoted Dvorak and helped him become very well known. And so in this opening section, we hear an introduction is actually from the New World Symphony. That sets the tone for the whole concert, is the first movement of the New World Symphony. And we play several more movements of New World Symphony throughout the program. But then in this first section, we kind of rewind all the way back to Dvorak growing up in Bohemia. And so we feature, of course, a Slavonic dance, Dvorak's most famous Czech-style pieces. And we're also going to play a movement of the Czech Suite, which is not very frequently performed, a really kind of wonderful panoramic movement from that piece. And we're also going to do a work called Prague Waltzes, which to me really sums up the whole first act. And that is Dvorak, you know, the composer with the Czech heritage, the Bohemian heritage, but as the word waltz might indicate, becomes very sophisticated, you know, and enters the world of Viennese classical music. And that's where the first act ends. The second act starts to bring in music that has more relationship to America, because that really depicts Dvorak's journey to this country. And, he set up shop in New York, where he was the director of the National Conservatory. And so we start to introduce some of this American music, including a movement of the American Suite, which is also featured later in the program, and a section of the Eighth Symphony, which actually had its first American performance, I believe, in Chicago at the World's Fair there right after Dvorak came to the U.S. And so we start to kind of dip in a little bit more to the music that had an American connection. And then in the third act, we go full bore. We bring out more of the New World Symphony, more of the American Suite, and we start hearing music that seems to be more influenced by Dvorak's time in America. And that's where I think Gary, you know, he'll speak to the imagery, but I think that's where the idea of this sort of mingling of influences and this whole world of sound, you know, and experience came to Dvorak as he traveled across the country and came to Iowa. And so we wanted the music to reflect that in its richness and its inspiration. And so that last section is just pieces that were written during this sojourn here in America. With one exception, we bring back one Slavonic dance near the end so that Dvorak can kind of have this flashback, or this kind of like this bout of homesickness, you know, which he talked about being a part of his time in America, and is one of the reasons why he came to Iowa, because he could join a community that was very similar to the ones that he grew up in. So the music takes that track from the beginning to the end. So therefore, the symphony is not played in order in the traditional sense. Instead, we use it as if it's a sections of a longer theatrical experience. And doing that has enabled us to not only tell the story musically, but it's given Gary a framework for the imagery to develop and unfold and intensify as the evening goes on. It also means, and it's probably the last thing I'll say about it, I don't want to give away too much, it means that there are sections of this show that are longer stretches of music where the audience is really only focused on the orchestra and listening to the music. And then in subtle ways, the imagery will kind of come in and begin that section of the story. And that, again, is much more similar to what you might experience, you know, in an opera theater, maybe the overture, you know, or the beginning of the second act, the orchestra's playing. And then all of a sudden, you know, the curtain goes up and we start to see the action. That was kind of our inspiration for how we structured the musical portion. So it'll have a different feeling than some of the previous things that we've done with Gary.
You mentioned that Dvorak was very nostalgic and very tender-hearted. So how are you going to bring that into your pictures?
I've read a lot about him and listened to a lot of the music, of course. But I think just trying to imagine some of the visual experiences he had through my own eyes, through the eye, influenced, inspired by Bohemian art from that period, probably the most famous painter to the general public, at least from about that same period, it would have been Alphonse Mucha, kind of the founder of Art Nouveau, one of the founders of Art Nouveau. But Bohemia, Central Europe, all those styles of visual art is what makes an assignment like this or a project like this really enjoyable for me, because I don't want to do the same art that I did for Duke Ellington, you know. I had a great time doing that, or the planets, or some of the, I want to find a new way to support this music. And I think it's going to be really fun for the audience, I hope. I know it will be for us. The way Jason has kind of brought this around, so there will be spaces where there won't be images suspended over the orchestra, or maybe just a single still image for a while or something like that. And so I think that what intrigues me about that is the fact that that will let the audience sort of try to imagine what Dvorak was imagining without, well, he was seeing Spielville, he was seeing the Turkey River and the wildlife and all of that, the medicine show, visiting Native Americans. But at the same time, his imagination, you know, what was in his head while he was writing a lot of this. And if there's nothing specific on the screen off and on, I think the audience will get to think about it that way a little bit more. And, you know, that's, I think, then dropping imagery in throughout the hour will maybe prod them a little bit one way or the other and maybe open their imaginations. And maybe that will relate them a little bit more to Dvorak himself.
Is there anything either one of you really want to bring out about this collaboration that you really want people to know about?
One thing that's really amazing about this particular project, and it's one of the reasons why we've chosen to make it a part of our youth programs this year, is that this story has so many dimensions to it. You know, at times in the past, I think orchestras have felt like, hey, you know, we play this music, we kind of come in the concert hall, you close the doors, and we go into that world, and it's like removed from the rest of the world. And working with Gary has been great because we've opened up these pieces to inquiry from outside of sort of what I would call the normals of classical music approach to them. And that's why these productions are so fresh and so interesting for audiences. But this subject in particular wraps together music and imagery and history and geography in a way that none of our other projects have done so yet. They've all done that in a way. And Gary is an absolute master at this ability to sort of look at visuals, not just purely aesthetically, but also with a historical sense, you know, and a real strong connection to other movements in art. And so for the audience, and especially for our young audience for this project, there's a wonderful opportunity to really broaden the experience and the learning that goes on. Of course, we're deeply attracted to Dvorak's music and fascinated by what he did and what he heard here and what he made of it. And we're also providing sort of a set of images for a period of time that doesn't often have a lot of imagery. You know, I say Dvorak, what do you picture? You know, people don't often have a good idea, and that gives Gary a great opportunity. But there's also this wonderful history, particularly of our country and what was going on in this country in the 1890s. And then this geography, this man who traveled sort of from his birthplace, you know, a small village, to become one of the great composers of Europe, and then be brought to America to help fashion America's culture, you know? And it's just an amazing story from a historical point of view. So that really has made it fun for us to work on, but even better for the audience and for our kids who are going to experience this, because there's so many dimensions to it. And it's really just incredibly rich and I think totally gripping. I mean, it's like end to end. You just can't stop, you know, following this story. And it's an amazing one for all of us here in Iowa to be able to celebrate this way, especially here now that we're just past the 125th anniversary of Dvorak's summer here. And so it's really a story that's continues to be worth telling.
So how can listeners get more information about this concert on Saturday, April 13th at the Gallagher Blue Dorn, and also get tickets?
Well, tickets are always available via our website, wcfsymphony.org. But if you need any assistance at all, our office is open, you know, throughout the week, normal business hours. You can always drop in person at the box office or our office, or you can give us a call. The numbers are all on our website. Facebook, you know, all these social media, WCF Symphony, you can find us there. And this year we're planning to roll out some special things, you know, in this immediate time before the concert. We want to share with people a little bit what happened with the kids. So I suggest that folks maybe drop by our website or our Facebook page and take a look and see what we did working with kids. And also, you know, kind of trying to share a little bit of Gary's process behind the scenes. And so people can have a chance to just take a little peek and see what goes on in Gary's studio and how he puts this stuff together with Jacob and myself.
And how about a pre-concert talk?
I do believe we're going to have a pre-concert talk. I don't know the location at the moment, but I bet when people show up for the concert, there will be plenty of people guiding you to the pre-concert, and that happens an hour before the show. So our concerts begin at 7 o'clock, and pre-concert conversation is at 6 o'clock. Learn a little bit more about the pieces and about Gary's process and his background with this work.
This great collaboration is on Saturday, April 13th at the Gallagher Blue Dorn. And thanks for today's WCF Symphony April 13th concert to the New World. Goes to IPR's Phil Moss and Alexis Hahn. And a very gracious thank you to our guest artist and illustrator, Gary Kelly, and WCF artistic director and conductor, Jason Weinberger. And thank you so much, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure.